Good morning, West Mead. How y'all doing this morning? Back in D now, we would have been like, how y'all doing this morning? Good, good. It is an absolute pleasure of mine to worship with you. Can I just say that? It's good to worship with family. Thank you, David. Appreciate it. Today is kind of like a wrap-up day, right? So I got to put this nice little bow on things, right, Justin? So I found a verse. Yeah, there's verses that speak to me about just about everything. In Matthew chapter 26, 45, Jesus said to him, then he came to the disciples and said to them, sleep and take rest later on. You see, the hour is at hand. Did I just scare some of you? The laughter stopped when you heard hour come out of my mouth. It's not going to be an hour. Hey, I just want to also welcome my homies from Tuscaloosa. Man, they drove up here. What time did y'all have to leave this morning? 6:45, man, to come to church. Praise God. Fight. There's been a fight since the beginning. And that's what our shirts say. Fight. When I think fighting, I think boxing, really. That's my go-to, right? And more recently, MMA is kind of taking charge, right? Boxing is kind of taking a back seat. Tuscaloosa is home to the heavyweight champion of the world, Deontay Wilder. You see him out and about. He drives his whips everywhere. He's got a Hummer on like 84-inch rims. The guy is a beast. But I think MMA, and my wife knows where I'm about to go, if I stay up late and have MMA on, I don't care who's fighting, I can't sleep that night. I get so hyped up. I'm like, I'm fighting the fight with them, right? And when I think boxing, I think greats like Muhammad Ali. Do I got any boxing people in here? Any fans? Nobody, Justin. What is this place? I got Bobby. I got two people. Muhammad Ali, when I say that name, what do you think? The great, right? What about Joe Frazier? Smoking Joe. What about Tommy Morrison? The gun, Tommy Morrison. George Foreman. The great. David, come lead us in some worship, brother. They ain't in the spirit yet. The great. This should be a good one coming up next, then. Mike Tyson. Here. Choco Taco Mike, right? And if you don't know what Choco Taco Mike is, Google it. It might be safe. It might not be safe. What about a guy named Sam Langford? We got really quiet. Even Bobby. Bobby, you know Sam Langford? Anybody know Sam Langford? Sam Langford was known as the Boston Terror. I wish I had a name like that. Well, I don't know. That's kind of scary, right? The Boston Terror. Let me read you his record. Total fights, 256. Bobby, this is going to be your new hero, brother. 256 fights, 180 wins, 128 by knockout, losses 29, draws 39. A beast. There's not a modern day fighter that has a record like the Boston Terrier, and yet we don't know his name. He never got a shot at the championship title because he was too good. The promoters wouldn't put him against the championship holder at the moment because they knew it wouldn't even be a match. This guy was a machine. He was about 5'6", about 170 pounds, and he could just take anybody down. D-Now Weekend has been a fight. Can I say that? Students, has it been a fight? Was there a fight last night right here? Was there a victory right here? Amen. Adults that were not here last night, there was a great spirit that settled on us after worship. And let me tell you, there are many students that began a fight last night, and I pray that fight will continue today and tomorrow and forever. D, now we've been fighting for focus, right? That's that focus, right? Yeah or no? Fighting for focus, right? We've been fighting for identity, haven't we? What about fighting for the gospel? And last, what about fighting against hell? Fighting against hell itself. Some have said life is like a fight. And much like Sam, the Boston Terror, many of us in this room have had a fight. Who's gone 12 rounds? Anybody know anybody that's gone 12 rounds? All of you probably have. I'm not talking about in the ring, I'm talking about life. All of us have experienced life. If you haven't, guess what? You will. I promise. There's no one safe from life. And that fight can drain you. But just like Sam, we must keep going. He could have stopped at 150 fights. He could have stopped at 200 fights. There was nothing stopping Sam but Sam. Sam continued to fight. Each one of us have been given the opportunity at a championship title. Did you know that, David? Brother, we're in a fight. And this weekend has been a fight. And it's the beginning of a good fight. I can remember my first fight. I don't even know if these guys over here that knew me for years, I don't know that I've told this story, so you're getting a fresh one, okay? Write it down. They're always like, Terrence, tell us a story. I'm like, I don't remember if I told that one like this or like that. No. it was the second grade, okay? We know where it was, right? It was the playground, right? Anybody getting in a fight on the playground? Yeah, my one man, he was like, my mom's over there, so she can't see my hand. Fight on the playground, right? I, to this day, have racked my brain about what we were fighting about. I just know we fought. End of the fight, I felt like Rocky, man. I was doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Yes, I was champion of the world. And back in my day, they took you to the principal's office, and they didn't separate you. You know what they did? They sat you right next to each other, right outside the door, and you're just sitting there going, this is going to be bad. But we were yah-yahing at each other. That doesn't ever happen with second graders, does it? We were yah-yahing back and forth, and I remember, I don't even know this guy's name. I remember his words. He said, you fight like a girl. And before the words even bounced in my head, I said, well, you just got beat up by a girl then. Let me tell you something. You want to take some words back. Those are some words I want to take back. But I'm proud of them now because I was victorious in the fight. Let me tell you about another fight. The biggest fight that we find ourselves in today is the fight for truth. Amen? All of us have many things going through our head, even right now when I say the word truth. Think about what's going on in our culture today. When does life start? We have a lady here in our congregation that fights for the unborn every day. What about who can marry who? That fight's there too. So when I say truth, your mind might go to something like, yes, we need a wall. Yes, we need to do this. Yes, we need to protect the unborn. Yes, we need to stand for what's right. Think about these questions. Was Jesus God? What is sin? How is someone saved? And is there a life after this one? These are the questions that have gripped us for ages as humans. These are the questions that have gripped a lost and dying world, you see, because I'm no longer dead, I live. So I know the answers to these questions. But we're going to dive into a little bit of truth. But first, I want to speak to my brothers and sisters in the room. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, this applies to you. Church, we need to take ownership of our faith. And it doesn't need to happen next week when we're ready for it. Do you hear me? This doesn't happen next week or next month when I get things straight. This truth is today. This truth happens when you go out to eat after church today and your waitress is a little bit slow and your food takes a long time to come out. And it might not be right and it might be cold, but the truth is that says this, love prevails. Love that waitress. Love that waiter. Christ rebuked the churches in Revelation 2 and 3 because they had tolerated false teaching. Christ rebuked. I don't want to be rebuked by my wife, let alone Jesus. Christ rebuked, right, honey? Churches have a call and a duty, listen, to guard our faith and to guard the truth. Christ himself demands it. See, Christ didn't just say, could you stand for the truth? Would you? Might you? Will you? No, he demanded that you stand for the truth. Amen? If we don't stand for the truth, who will? Gonzo, who will? If we don't. This by no means guarantees a healthy church or a healthy Christian, you see, because Christ also addressed another church. The church at Ephesus was addressed because they had lost their first love. They were biblically and doctrinally and truth sound, right? But they had lost their first love. We must have a reason to fight. Much like Rocky had Adrian, we have Jesus. And Jesus is way better than Adrian. You see, my Jesus, he died for me. No one's ever done that, David. No one's ever died for me. No one ever took my place when the punishment was all mine. And I have to know that this truth is the truth that sets me free. You can't fight a fight without a beginning. You see, on that playground, there were probably words, and then the fight happened. If you haven't been fighting, would you look at your neighbor and tell them, I'm ready to fight? Right now? Yeah, that's you. I'm ready to fight. Look at the person next to you. Let's do this. David, let's get this right. Good morning, neighbor. I'm ready to fight. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. You gonna fight them? Oh, you better not, brother. You gonna have a mess on your hands. Now, you're ready to fight. What are you fighting for? Let's look at our text found in John chapter 14, verse 6. I'll give you but a moment to turn there, and as you're turning there, think about fighting. Think about the battle. Think about the war that is waging even right now. As we turn to John chapter 14, verse 6, I want you to think about these words that you just said to your neighbor. I am ready to fight. Because you're putting your gloves on this morning and you're about to step into the ring, whether you like it or not. You can lay down, you can keep your arms to your side, or you can posture and you can put your hands up and you can be ready to fight. So read with me as we read the text in red. It says, Jesus said to him, let me repeat that real quick. Jesus said to him, these are the words of Christ himself, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one, nobody, no thing, no way comes to the Father except through me. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy and your faithfulness. You are true. You have been true before there were even lies. God, you have been so good to us to give us your word here, the sword, the word of truth. We will stand on the word of truth today, no matter the cost. Because we know that this fight that we're ready to fight is worth it. We ask that you come, bring your Spirit, pour it out. Give us life everlasting that will last past the fight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, the text that we're dropped into is this kind of weird moment where the question is asked, Lord, we don't know. Lord, we don't know. We don't know which way to go. This is the sixth time that Jesus uses the statement, I am. The sixth time. And you might think, well, that's very important. Because I am sent Moses. I am will be with you, Moses. I much feel the pains of Moses. I'm not prepared. I'm not ready. And maybe you're thinking right now, I can't fight. I'm not ready to fight. I don't even know what type of gloves to wear. I'm about to prepare you. I'm about to give you the gloves. I'm about to be your trainer. And the Word is going to tell us how to get there. We see that answer to that question is found right here in this text. The way, the truth, the life. At a moment's glance, you might look at it and see three words. And you might think, well, Jesus, man, he's always answering things that I don't... He answers things with other questions. And you might think, well, he had one question. Which way are you going? And how do you get there? That's the way. Listen, just because there's three responses doesn't mean that there's three answers. Those answers simultaneously build together and bring together the truth that we're going to explore here today. What is the way? Do you know that there's people out on the streets right now driving past Westmead, past Central, past all the churches that are here in Decatur, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, in the world? And they probably have this same question. I've often thought, I'm just going to share with you my burden to my heart. While I'm driving to church and I see someone walking down the street, I'm thinking, what am I doing? They might not know Christ. I see people driving and I think, are they going to church? Do they know the truth of Christ? I get burdened every time on my way to church. And I don't know if anybody else is like that, but it might just be me or I'm weird. The beard did it. I don't know. But I can tell you this, that if each one of us don't have that burden, this fight in us for the truth, I pray that God births that fight within us. When we see those people on our way to church and think, if they die today, will they go to be with the Father? Jesus makes one thing clear. I am the way. Amen. Are you excited about that, church? I am, because I didn't know the way. You see, I was lost. I was blind. I was blind and groping in darkness in my life and didn't know which way to turn until the light came into the darkness and the darkness ran away and the light spoke and said, I am. I am the way. Come, follow me. Find life. Find what I only can offer. You see, Jesus might have looked at them kind of crazy, like, come on, man. Y'all been with me. You know the answer. I'm the way. Let me put it to you like this for the Sanford and Son friends and family in the room. That's me and my wife, definitely. Maybe Justin. Justin knows some references. If Fred Sanford was to translate, if we had a translation, Fred Sanford translation, I think we might approach Lifeway with that. What do you think? Might be good. Yeah, you might mean like this, huh? He might look at you and say, you big dummy? That's him. He's the way. And Jesus is simply just pointing to himself here. You see, the danger is that they thought there might be another way. That they might compile a list of do's and don'ts and ways and wills. and make their way to the Father. It's still a struggle today, is it not? Even people professing Jesus Christ sitting in Baptist churches all over the nation believe that they can be good enough to get to the Father, that they could do something, that they could attend church, that they could tithe, that they could attend Bible study, that they could host homes, that they could drive, that they could show up to DNOW. Students, listen to me. Just because you came to DNOW doesn't give you a free ticket to heaven. You could check it off your list, but guess what? He says, I am the way. The danger is real. Second thing Jesus alludes to is, I am the truth. You see, hear me clearly when I say this. Jesus is not giving a truth. He's not alluding to, that was a truth that I just said, that I am the way. He looks at them and says, I am the truth. There's a lot of people around that want to make their own truth. You know, my truth is good for me. Your truth is good for you. But what if my truth says your truth is a lie? Then we have an impasse. And Jesus is dismissing that impasse right here. He says, I am. Gaze on me. Look at me. I'm the truth. I'm the truth. I'm the way. There is none other. Remember, we're in a fight, are we not? Are we putting our gloves on yet? Should we lace them up, David? Who's ready to step into the ring yet? Nobody? Go 12 rounds with the Boston Terror? No way, Jose. Not going to happen. Fighting for truth can sometimes feel like swinging in the dark after you got the goosebumps. Anybody been in the dark and something brushed your leg? Huh? Ever been in waist-deep water and something brushed your leg? Shark! It was a piece of like grass, man, and it hits you. I've been there, right? Even in the darkness of life, when you start to swing at fears unknown, Jesus calms you by saying, I am the truth. In the murkiness of life, Jesus is the clear thing to cling to. You hear me? In the murkiness of life, whether you're on the mountaintop or in the valley, it doesn't matter. Jesus is the only thing that is clear. I can't cling to a book that tells me how great Jesus is. I can't cling to a study that says, I should be like this, or I should do this. I have to cling to Christ and Christ alone. Those things are great helps. But Jesus looks at them. He doesn't say, hey, I'm going to send you a study in the mail every 3 months. He says, I am. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And that's third. Our wonderful pastor brought a great message. And he alluded to death. And he alluded to life. And let me tell you, in the New Testament alone, 22 times in the same verse, you have death and life. Death and life. Jesus says, I am life. Not just I am a way of life, I am a life. I could be a good life for you, David. No, I am life. You see, aside from Jesus, everything else is dead. My wife, I'm going to use her right now. It just came into my mind, so it has to be the Holy Spirit. Trust me on it, okay? Just later on is when I pay for this. She can't keep a plant alive to save her life. Can you? I'm telling truth now. Remember, we're fighting for truth. She can't. I have bought her orchids, right? The instructions say put an ice cube on top of it every 2 weeks or something like that. It's dead before she even gets to the ice cube part, right? And much like the things of life that we try to filter in, that we try to fertilize ourselves with, that we try to water ourselves with. You hear me? You hear me, church? Even the good things don't compare to Jesus. Even the great things don't compare to Jesus. You see, because without the way, the truth, and the life, there is only death. The world wants to sell you a cheapo knockoff version, teenagers, adults, children. You ever been into the gas station, you're like, oh man, that charger right there, that's the charger I've been looking for. And they sell that charger at AT&T or Verizon or T-Mobile. I might pay for this later. I just tried to name off three. I might pay $40 for that charger, and they got it for $5. They've been ripping me off, man. Yeah, they've been ripping you off until you plug it in, your car burns down. And there you are. You got a phone, but no car. Genius, right? The world's going to try to sell you a cheap version of life. And you're going to think, man, I'm alive. I feel good. I got friends. I got family. Man, I got money. I got a house. I got cars. I got fame. I got a name for myself. People know who I am. When I Snapchat or Instagram, I get 1,000 likes. Cheap, knockoff version of life. Adults, if you know this to be true, come alongside them and show them. Say, I've been there, I've done that. I've tasted that life, and that life is nasty. I spit it out, and then I chose to take of the living water and the living bread because I know that it's everlasting, and it will be always and forevermore great and greater than anything I've ever tasted. The truth is this. There's one Jesus, and there's one way, and there's one truth, and there's one life. Jesus had a moment. I don't know how expensive these mics are, so I won't do it. Jesus had a mic drop moment right here, right in front of everybody. He says this, and if I can't think of a better verse to proclaim the gospel truth than this one verse and just walk away, I don't know what there is. You see, because this fight takes place today here at Westmead, and I hope at the other churches involved with DNOW, but students, hear me now. You get tomorrow off. Yeah, you get to go home and go to sleep. What's going to happen Tuesday? You still be ready to fight? Parents, are you ready to be their ring coach? Or are you just going to throw the towel in? They're not ready. They can't. How about let's help prepare those teenagers? Parents, you're probably all the way over here. Guess what? I mentioned this earlier, but I'm going to say it again because it's important. The fight's happening whether you want it to or not. Chad, the fight's happening right now. There are people that didn't make it to church this morning because the fight got too tough. There are people that have been here and are not here because the fight got too tough. There are students that went to DNOW their entire high school and middle school year, and they're no longer with us because the fight got too tough. Truth is, God's truth is the only truth on any subject. Can I get an amen? I can't think, well, you know what? It's going to be okay this one time. What does God say? Crack the word open, students. Find out what God says on the matter. Because this is the truth. And you know, I heard a guy one time say that this truth shall set you free. And Jesus says, I am the truth. He is the word. You see what I'm trying to string together? There's only one. So, are you ready to make war? I don't think so. Nobody sounded like they were ready to make war. Are you ready to make war? Yeah. Students, are you ready to make war? Was there not a war right down here last night? Was there victory? When you taste that sweet victory, never forget it. Always go back to that moment and know that Christ has a victory for every battle that we face. The question of the hour is to all of us. We're going to wrap up D now, right? Hey, you get some sleep. Sleep is for the weak. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to sleep tonight, I promise you. The question is this, and hear me. I want you to focus on this one question. What will you do with Jesus of Nazareth? What will you do with Jesus of Nazareth? Because this is the truth. He's the way and the life. And D now has happened, and I pray. Man, this has been my prayer this weekend. Let this not be just another D now. I promise you, you might have heard it before, but if it is just another D now, we might as well just go ahead and stop them. Because it's a lot of work. It's a little bit of money, but it's a lot of work. But the fruits are after the fight. And we must fight. The way, the truth, and the life cannot be had without one or the other. They're all found in Jesus Christ. And as we conclude with this, and as the band comes, what will you do with Jesus of Nazareth? The question's asked. The fight is happening. You're in the ring. You have gloves. They are laced up. You know that it's going to be a long battle. You know that it's going to be tough. You know that you're going to be fighting an adversary that is seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. Do you understand that? If I were to tell you that you were getting in the ring tomorrow with Sam, the Boston Terror, you would be afraid. But if I were to tell you that instead of you fighting your fight, someone of greater measure than you could ever imagine, someone that had beat Sam, the Boston Terrier, was going to step into your ring, slide you from the ropes, and fight your fight for you. And that is exactly what Jesus is ready to do. He's ready to fight for you. You see, this is not just our battle, it's His battle. And the victory is ultimately not ours. The victory is His. Do you get that? So when you feel defeated, when you feel crushed, know this, that He's only trying to make a diamond out of you. He's only trying to show you where He is strong. Because that's in our weakness. Fight the good fight. Be found faithful. And for those that don't know Jesus here, He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by Him. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I don't want to be a slave anymore. I want to be free. And I chose that a long time ago. And I've never looked back. And I thank God for being faithful. I thank God for equipping me the way He saw fit to equip me. So as we pray, I'm going to ask Justin and some of the other adults, come down front. Help fight the battle. Help fight the battle, because if you're in a battle tonight, it's only begun. It will not end until we see the face of He who is truth, and He who is the way, and He who is the life. Pray with me. Father, You've been so good to us. You've been a glorious God. We lift Your name up on high. We thank you for the victories that you've already placed. But God, there are many here that need a victory, that need to see on the other side there is light in the darkness. God, for those that don't know you and have not tasted nor seen of the goodness of the Lord, I pray that today would be their day, that they would taste of the living water and they would thirst no more. That they would take of the bread of life and they would hunger no more. That we would hunger and thirst after your righteousness, and that is it. The simple gospel, the love of God shown through Jesus Christ, who died in the place of a nasty, rotten, no good sinner, wants to open his arms to you today and bring you life and bring you more abundant life. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with wonderful students, wonderful leaders, wonderful leadership. We pray that this weekend has not been just another weekend. We pray that you have been glorified, that you've been lifted high. God, I pray that lives would be changed and changed for your glory. I thank you, Lord, for being a good God. And as the moment comes for prayer to happen, I pray that you would fall fresh on us here today, that we would have new life, that this would be a birthing room of your children. We thank you for your good. In Jesus' wonderful and awesome, powerful name. Amen. Altar is open. Come fight the fight. And if you see someone fighting a fight, fight alongside them, because their life might depend on it.